I changed my mind. We're not going to talk about it. intro kind of a thought, you see, divorce, and that's what we're going to be talking about is marriage, divorce, remarriage, and adultery, and how all that links together. But God gave it to us as a concession. He allowed it, permitted it, not so we can easily exchange spouses. He's allowed it and permitted it because there's something wrong with our hearts. And this is the overwhelming thought that we have today. In a divorce situation, somebody's heart got wrong. And so this is what we're going to be kind of emphasizing for sure. I want to make this statement. Though I have never had the horror of divorce, some of my best friends have. Some of the best men and some of the best women that I have ever known have suffered through divorce. And some of those situations, and I'm careful how I say it, and I make sure you receive it the way I'm attempting to communicate it, in some of those situations, it was the best thing that could have happened. Because had this man stayed with this woman, he would have killed her. The divorce is better than murder. And I've known some women who were so mistreated their husbands that, you know, they needed to be killed, maybe. But I've known the other way around. I've known some men that were so abusive to their wives, even though they weren't maybe doing adulterous things or whatever. But they were so abusive, and I never said it, but I thought it, and others would say it for me, so I wouldn't have to. But you know, why don't you divorce him? You know, why are you submitting to that? Why are you putting up with that? Why are you allowing your children to be in that thing? You know, come on. You know, I never said that. And then also, I know of situations with children that children actually upgraded with a parent through a divorce. You know, they had terrible parents. And when that one was gone, then they got something that was far superior. And I've known it the other way around. I've known divorces that's happened and it got worse for the woman, or worse for the husband, or worse for the children. But I've known the other as well. And so what I'm attempting to communicate here with you is that I understand. I understand. I talk to people who go through it every day. I know the hurt. But I want you to know something further than I know. I want you to know God knows. Right? And He understands what you've gone through, but He wants you to understand a principle. So what I want to do is we're going to read first the verse from Luke that we're kicking off of from here in Luke chapter 16 and verse 18. It says, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery." Well, that's man. "And the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery." And that's the woman. So this divorce thing, it's a heavy thing. And Jesus said shocking, shocking statements. And this is, to me, at the top. There's not anything that he said that is more shocking than this. In fact, I think Jesus should have to come and preach this to you. I mean, if you say something like that, shouldn't you be responsible for communicating it? And then that way, if he were to come and preach it, I could go down there and hold her hand and put my arm around her, and we could sit there and listen to Jesus talk. You know? And then after he was done, I could come back up and pray and dismiss us. And then next week, we could come back, and I'd say, "Man, Jesus is a hard preacher, isn't he?" And you'd say, "Yeah, he is a hard preacher." And I'd say, "I don't think we ever ought to have Jesus come back and preach again, do you?" And you'd say, "No, I don't think we ought to have Jesus preach." And if I hear that Jesus is going to be preaching, I'm not coming. Because of these shocking statements that he makes. It shocks us. And I want us to get it because you see, shock is not to hurt us. The shock is to bring life back to our hearts. It's like a person has a cardiac, you know, and their heart stops and they shock it. And the shock is to bring life, not death. The shock is to bring life to where life ought to be and where death has come. And so in this specific one, it's that way. It's a shocking statement, but it's not to hurt us. It's to bring life to us. It's not that this thing has the potential not only change your life, change your marriage, change your family, change your children, but also change our society. If we'll just get it, if we'll just get our heads wrapped around this thing. So that's the deal. Now, the first thing I want to do is I want to show you the response that you should have when we're done here. When you walk out of here, this should be the response you have. So let's look at this scripture from Matthew chapter 19. Says this. So after Jesus had taught it this day and relayed what I'm about to relay to you, the disciples said to him, "If this is the situation between a husband and wife, it is better not to marry." Now these are the people that knew him the best. And that was their conclusion to this thing that we're going to be talking about. So if you leave here today and that's your conclusion, you got it. If that's how the conclusion you come to after we're through talking here, then I've done a good job. But now if you go to someplace else and they dummy it down and they say, "Oh no, that's not what Jesus meant," or if you read something that somebody wrote and said, "Oh, that's not what Jesus meant, that's not what Jesus," then you didn't get it and they didn't get it. Because here's how I know this is the correct conclusion to have. Because when they came to him and they said that to him, when they said that to Jesus, do you know what he said? He didn't say, "Oh, no, you misunderstood. You missed this point. You didn't understand what I was saying." You know what he said? Here's what he said. "Some people can handle the truth, and some people can't." And then you know what he starts talking about? Eunuchs. How it might be better. I'll show you in just a few minutes, okay? Well, maybe more than a few, but we're going to get there. But hopefully, so this is the deal. Now, it's going to be uncomfortable for all of us, especially for me. I'm the most uncomfortable person in here. If I go over to my water several times, it's because I'm trying to get my mouth wet because I've gotten dried up. But anyway, it's going to be uncomfortable. But if you hang out with me and not put up walls and listen, and if you won't leave, I believe that we'll all go out of here understanding something about marriage, something about divorce, something about remarriage, and something about adultery we don't have right now. Is that a deal? Okay. All right. Are you ready? Okay. It starts in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is the most extreme sermon ever preached, ever taught. If anybody ever tells you they like the Sermon on the Mount, then they haven't read the Sermon on the Mount, because it's there where we cut off a hand and we pluck out an eye. It's there where anger is the same as murder. It's there when somebody punches you on the cheek, you turn them and let them hit you on the other one as well. It's there where if somebody wants your coat, you give them your shirt and your underwear. This is the most extreme. And of course, and what I want to do is I want you to imagine, if you will, hearing this preached the first time. Jesus is just the first sermon. You know, he's opening up his ministry, and these are the things that he's projecting. These people have never heard it before. And so what I want to do is I want to begin above it and read through it and attempt to imagine how it must have been when this happened. So put it up for me, please. Let's get started. Matthew chapter 5. It says this: you have heard that it was said, "Do not commit adultery." Yeah, that's what Moses said at the seventh commandment. But I tell you, you're changing what Moses says, but I tell you that anyone who looked at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Wait a minute, I got a few questions about that. You have heard that it was said, "Do not commit adultery." But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in her heart. Wait a minute, I got a few thoughts here. I want to ask you about that. You have heard, If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Wait a minute, I got some questions about hell in this eye thing. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose another body part than for your whole body to be going to hell. Wait a minute, I got some questions about this hell thing and body parts. I don't understand. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. Yeah, that's what Moses said. But I tell you, wait a minute, you can't be changing what Moses said. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. No, you got that wrong. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. No, you got your tongue tied up there. You're talking too fast. And again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord." I've made I made some oaths to God, and I haven't kept them all. But anyway, but I tell you, don't do any of that. Do not swear at all, either by heaven or for it is God's throne. And no, whoa, Jesus, you're just going too fast. Whoa. I can't. What are you talking about? I've lost two body parts. I've been thrown into hell. I looked at a pretty woman. I didn't know that I was committing adultery with her. And you said, don't make these promises to God. I made promises to God. And you said, don't even make a promise to God. And what's this divorce thing you're talking about here? I don't understand that you're saying, you said that all wrong. I can't do all this. I can't do this. I'm going to go to hell. In fact, everybody I know, I don't know anybody that can do this. Everybody's going to hell. And this, the whole sermon is that way. It's extreme statement after extreme statement after extreme statement all the way through it. But we're not concerned with that. What we're concerned with is this one that we want to focus on today. But it's in the middle of all these extreme statements that Jesus says. So let's get into it in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 31. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. That's right. That's what Moses said. And it was just that easy. And in that time and in that society, it was a man's world. It was a man's world. Women had no say in nothing. If he wanted to divorce her in exchange for a new model, any and everything was okay. She had nothing to say about it. There was no courts, no judges. There was nothing that she could come against it with. He just write out on a lambskin or whatever they would write on, hand it to her, and she was out on her ear. So you can only imagine the divorce rate. We only think ours is high. You can only imagine what their divorce rate was because it was that simple. And we'll even make it simpler in just a second. So you can imagine what was going on here. And Jesus says, we gotta change this. You can't keep doing this. So he says, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress. Well, Jesus, what? You're talking so fast. You just got your words mixed up. I know you did. Let me tell you. See, you've never been married, Jesus, so you don't understand this. But what it is, adultery is when there's a man and a wife and they're married, and one of them leaves and goes outside of the marriage and has relationships, sexual relationships with somebody outside of the marriage. That's what adultery is. She's not even remarried. She's just divorced. How can that? She's not committing adultery. You're just confused. And, he says, and anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. No, Jesus, let me tell you again. See, you got it wrong. I know you're talking fast, your tongue's tied. You didn't mean to say it that way. Let me tell you again. See, what adultery is when a man and a woman are married and one of them leaves and goes outside of marriage and has relationships with somebody else. That's adultery. See, they're married. This man and woman, they've got married. Yeah, she was divorced, but now she's married. They're married, Jesus. They're not committing adultery. You're just confused, right? Right? You're confused. Was he? This is the Son of God. This is God in flesh, or God with a bod. He is God. Is he confused? Is God confused? So what is it then? What's the obvious answer here? There must be something about marriage and about divorce and about adultery and about remarriage that I don't understand. And until we understand it, until we can get our heads wrapped around it and grasp what Jesus is wanting us to get here, with this shocking statement, until some kind of life comes back into our hearts because of this shocking statement, until we can get it, it's not going to get better. Your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren are going to suffer things they don't have to suffer. If we can just get it, we can stop it or at least help it. If we can understand about marriage the way we need to, if we can understand about divorce, if we can understand about this adultery thing and remarrying and all this the way we should and go into the marriage with this understanding, oh my goodness. How could it just not only change our lives, our families, but our children and our society? So this is where we're at. This is what we're after today. Now these Pharisee guys were always tailing Jesus around. And they weren't following him to learn. They were following him to get this ammunition so they could discredit him. That was their purpose. And what better ammunition could they get than what he says and his stance on marriage and divorce and remarrying? What in the world? Man, they can really use this. And so they get their little questions together, and they show up with Jesus one day later after he's preached this a couple of times. And then in Matthew chapter 19, in verse 3, says this. And plus, before I read it, also they loved it. They loved what Moses said, because their interpretation of it was it gave them a lawful reason and a lawful way to exchange wives, to swap wives, to get a new model. So they come to Jesus and they say this, Matthew 19:3. Some Pharisees came to him to test him, so their motives were not right. And they asked, is it lawful? This is what Moses said. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Now get this. For what? Any and every reason. And it was just that simple. I mean, you gotta imagine how life would be in that society. How would it be for a woman? Women, you could only imagine, and guys, if you could just try to imagine, living with a guy, living with a husband where you had no say, that you had to please him in any and everything he wanted. And if you didn't please him and satisfy him in any and everything he wanted you to do, you were out on your ear. Any and every reason was good enough. And it was that simple. Jesus replied. Verse 4. Haven't you read? Well, of course they'd read. They were Pharisees. They had read the thing backwards and forwards. They knew right where it was. And so what I want you to see here is that Jesus is using something that they were very familiar with. Haven't you read? He replied, that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. Okay. Jesus says here, he's saying, all right, I want you to know something. You're asking me a question that's already been covered. You're asking me a question that the Creator has already answered for you. You know where it is, you know what it says, but you want loopholes. And he says, you know, you've read it. Haven't you read it? Sure you've read it. Yeah. And you're asking me that for any and every reason, well, is that good enough for a divorce? He says. Now listen, I want to make this statement. See, in our society, the way society works and the way every society works, is society throws things at us. And initially, they're so offensive to us because we know they're so blatantly against what God says, what the Creator says in His Word, that we reject it. We say, no, we vote it down, we reject it. No. But they keep throwing it at us. And eventually, we kind of soften up. And we start accepting it. Well, okay, it'll be all right for them. But eventually we accept it to the point where it becomes right. Not even with them, but right with us. And it becomes our way of life. And we think it's right. And even though it's blatant against what God says, because society says it, we submit to it, and it becomes right. And Jesus is here saying, I'm going to take you all the way back to the Creator. I'm going to take you all the way back to how marriage was created to be. Now, he says, here's the first thing that I want to show you about marriage is that it's male and female. See, society is throwing something else at us. And, you know, and initially you say, no, but that's beginning to be right now. I want us to see, and I want you to know that that's how it works. That's how it always works. And this is how divorces work. So Jesus says, let's go back to the Creator. Let's see how God originally created marriage to be. Verse 5. And said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. And the two will become one. Become one flesh. Now leave that up there for me for a few seconds, please. What I need you to do in working with me here is I need you to repeat back to me, become one flesh. And I want you to say it with some energy because we really need to get it. So on the count of three, would you say that along with me? One, two, three. Become one flesh. Let's do it one more time just to make sure we got it. No, one, two, three. Become.
One flesh.
Yep. Okay. Now, Okay, take it down. Now, what this one flesh thing means is one skin. Okay? So when you're married, what happens is you come together. And it's one skin. It's what God is doing is he's taking us back to the original state of man. Where Adam, before surgery, was both. And that's what marriage does. Before Adam, the rib was removed and Eve was created. One flesh. And so what God's saying here is that when you're married, this is what happens to you. You come back into the state that you were created, that man is originally created to be. You complete one another. Okay? Now here's the biggest thing that I'm going to say, at least it is to me. Here's the most powerful thing that I think I'll say all day. And I want you to get it. See, becoming one is not the goal of marriage. Becoming one is the results of marriage. A lot of people have a goal in life to be one with their spouse. You're missing it. No. That's already happened. When you're married, you become one. And the goal isn't to become one. That's already happened. Becoming one is the result of your becoming married. And this is what Jesus is wanting to get across to us and to get across to them. So he goes on. Next verse. So are the results of. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, because of this, because of this union, therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. In other words, don't even try. It can't happen. So Jesus said, Pharisees, you guys, now listen. If you're asking if any and every reason will work to send her out, send her away, if you're asking, are you serious? Are you kidding me? Of course not. What you're really asking me is then what reasons are there to divorce? What reasons are there to undo what God made one and separate what God has joined together? Where can we do this? I say, and you're probably saying, well, Dilbert, that sure does sound permanent. Uh-huh. Yeah, but he's such a bum. Dilbert, listen, you don't have to convince me. I've seen the bums. I know. She was such a... Yeah, but mom and daddy told me to get out. I understand that. And the lawyer said, but no man can un-one what God has made one. And no man can undo and separate what God has joined together. Not even Moses. And not only do I understand, but God understands. He knows. He knows the things you went through. And we can give our any and every reason, can't we? We can give our details to it. We can say, you don't understand the emotional damage that it did me. It is doing to my children. I know. But you don't understand that he broke the promises and she did this and she's driving me crazy and you don't understand the distress and the stress she causes everything and messes up everything and the broken dreams and the broken hearts. And oh, Jesus says, yeah, I do. I'm sorry. You should have been a little more selective. You should have done it my way. Instead of following what you thought was pretty or attractive or take care of you and give you money or following after your desires and your sexual drives and lust and those kinds of things and finding somebody that liked what you liked, you should have been a little more selective. You should have had a checklist. I know. But you're asking me to... You're asking me to I'm sorry, Caleb. You're asking me to what can undo what God has joined is like asking somebody to unscramble eggs. You're asking me if it's permissible. And what I'm trying to show you and tell you is it's not possible. No man. Anybody want to try? No man can undo what is joined together. And while I'm down here and just doing it, and so when we divorce and remarry, what's already been joined together, we're just joining in with it. And now we have this adulterous situation. You didn't mean for it to be. You didn't really understand that it ever would be. But now you're joined with all this other that's joined. You're joining with this man who's already joined with this woman. And you're joining with this woman that's already joined with this other man. And so, wow. And he says, I'm not telling you it's a commandment. There's no commandment that says, thou shalt not disjoin. I'm just telling you that it can't be unjoined. Because it's become one. It's not that I'm telling you it's not permittable. I'm telling you it's impossible. So you think that we're baffled, you know, and that we're kind of confused about this. Well, what do we do now? And let me say this while I'm here, because you all know that this is true. Because even in the best of divorce situations, in the very best, that guy is still there. That woman is still there. You thought that the paper would separate you, but they're there until you die or until they die. You can't separate it. It's impossible. It's not that there's a command that says, thou shalt not. It just can't happen. And then you mix children and all this in there. So we think we're baffled. These Pharisees were baffled. They come to test Jesus. Now they found themselves back in the corner and they're being tested. What you going to do with it now, big boy? And so you know, it's this kind of thing that Jesus is attempting to say to us. No, wait, okay, how does this work then? So Jesus goes on. Verse 7. Why then, they asked, they're in defense mode now. Why then, they asked, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? That's it. He said, I could give her, write the certificate of divorce, give it to her, and just send her out. She's gone. History. Verse 8, Jesus replied, Moses didn't command you. Moses permitted you. He corrected that. See, Moses permitted it. See, divorce is a concession. It's not the best. He permitted you to divorce your wives because why? Your hearts were hard. See, Moses knew you wasn't going to take care of your women. Moses knew you were going to, because of your hard heart, you were going to chuck them out. You were just going to send them away. That's why Moses, because your heart is wrong. The problem is your heart. Because of your heart, but it was not this way from the beginning. Jesus says, I'm not changing my mind. I don't care what kind of things you could come up with. This is how it's supposed to be. I'm sorry. I know it hurts. I know it's a mess. But here's how it's created to be. And we all know that this is true. Women, you know it's true. I mean, if it were not for the laws of the land, the guy you divorced, even though you had children, would not give you a dime. Only about 95% of men don't. The jail is full over here with people who won't pay their alimony and their child support. You know that's true. There's a few guys that will. But for the most part, they'll give you the kids and send you away, but they won't support you. They won't take care of their women. They won't take care of those men. And you know that what that's true. And I've seen it the other way around. I've seen women take it and beat and abuse men. Because they could. Because the lawyer or whatever, or the judge, whatever, was siding in that direction. And so now let's take all the guys got. And we know that this is exactly the way it rolls out. He says, listen, he didn't write this for you guys so it makes it easy for you to swap wives and exchange wives and get you a new model. He says, that's not why it was done. It was done for the women so that they would have at least something if they went out into the world that everybody would know they're not running around and running out here doing all kinds of stuff with their husband, against their husband. And you know, and maybe somebody will marry them again. Maybe somebody will take care of them. At least, you know, give them a certificate. Verse 9, next verse. He says it again. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness. Now, let me just make a comment here. This is not our teaching, but marital unfaithfulness would seems to alleviate the accusation of adultery, but it doesn't undo what was joined. It doesn't unwant what God wanted. It just takes the accusations of the adultery out. And marries another woman, commits adultery. He says, I'm not going to change my mind. You know, you're not going to give me any reason. There's no reason. This doesn't change. This is how it is. So, chapter 19, verse 10 says this. The disciples said to him, if this is the situation between a husband and wife, it's better not to marry. Jesus replied, well, not everyone can accept this word. Everybody can't handle the truth. But only those to whom it has been given. Now, whether we accept it or not does not change the truth. It's one of those things, if you have ears to hear, then hear. This is information that will make your life work. This is information that will help you. But that's not going to change it being truth, whether we accept it or not. Does not accept this word. But only those who it's been given. For some are eunuchs because they were born that way. Others were made that way by men. And others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. And the one who can accept this should accept it. So yes, it might have been better if you had never gotten married. Because if your idea of marriage is that if this doesn't work, I'll get me another one. If this is your idea that for any and every reason, I'll exchange wives. If this is your idea of what marriage is when you go into it, if it doesn't work out, we'll get a divorce. It'd be better if you never married. Because of the tremendous astronomical damage that you're going to do to yourself, that you're going to do to your spouse, that you're going to do to the spouse that your spouse marries, to the spouse you marry, to the spouses that are involved, to all of these children, to all of these people that are involved in this thing, the astronomical amount of damage that you're going to do by bringing this adultery stuff into the land. And you can read it in Deuteronomy chapter 24, where adultery brings sin on the land and God has to deal with it. And he's saying, it'd be better if you never got married. All the damage to you. Boy, that's uplifting, isn't it? And it appears, if we stopped right here, that it would appear that God just is condemning people who have divorced and remarried. But he doesn't. So let me now reel us in and give you God's perspective. Yeah, the shock. Okay, I'm alive, but I'd rather be dead, you know. But let me help us a little bit. Okay, do you remember in John chapter 8, verses 7 through 11, there's a woman there, and this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. She was caught in the act of adultery. Okay, and they drug her to Jesus. And they drug her to him, and they said, okay, you're always changing what Moses said. So Moses said we should stone her. What do you say? What did Jesus do? What? He did nothing. He knelt down and he just scribbled in the dirt. And the point I want you to see is this, is Jesus is not beating you up with this. Here is this woman who was taken in the very act. In the very act. He could have said, you nasty, filthy woman. Look what you've done. Look what you've done to your family. Look what you've done to your children. Look at all the mess you've made. You filthy woman. But he didn't. He did nothing. And they kept pressing him. They kept pressing him. Well, come on, tell us something. Tell us something. So he stands up. He says, okay. What do you do next? He said, if you've never sinned, you throw the stone. And probably every single one of them there have been divorced, remarried, divorced, remarried, divorced, remarried. And so they, one by one, left. And Jesus went back down and did nothing. And so the accusers left. And so Jesus stands up and he looks at the woman. And where's your accusers? There's not any, Lord. And here's the first thing that I want you to know that Jesus would say to you if you've been through this. Is listen. Nobody's got the right to accuse you of anything. They can't look down their nose at you for anything. I don't care how many times you've been married. All your accusers are gone. And the second thing he says, well, neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. So the second thing that he wants you to know is he's not condemning you. Listen, it's probably the preacher's fault for not telling you. It's probably the preacher's fault for not being able to make it sense to you. He's not going to condemn you because the preacher didn't do his job or her job. Right? So you didn't know. So the second thing is he wants you to know is that I'm not going to condemn you. And I had a whole page of notes that Judas says you can't do this. And I'm going to do it anyway. But anyway, Listen. When you go to a church and they condemn you, they won't let you serve like as a deacon or won't let you preach or be an elder or whatever. And they punish you. That is not a church. I want you to know that is not a church because if Jesus doesn't condemn you and his church condemns you, that's not a church of Jesus. Get out of that one. So, I had a whole page on that. I just shortened it up for you a little bit. But anyway, the thought is, okay, he's not going to condemn you. And then the third thing he wants you to know is first, nobody's got the right to condemn you. Second thing he wants you to know is he's not condemning you. And the third thing is you stop it. Don't do that. Now you know. Don't. We got to stop this thing, right? We got to stop messing up our families and messing up our children. And we got to stop this messing up and spewing this stuff all over the place. We got to stop. Right? So those are the three things that I think you want to say. Well, Delbert, you don't quite understand. See, I'm the one with a bad heart. I'm the one that caused the divorce. I'm the one who messed up. And I don't know if God can forgive me and get over me. Are you kidding me? Do you remember David and Bathsheba? That was the adultery of all adulteries. I mean, you know, that was the monumental. I mean, you have a mess, and maybe you had a bad heart, but you didn't have a mess like David and Bathsheba had, and you don't have a heart like David had. You're not going to kill anybody, are you? I mean, hope not. You might want to, but see, and this is the thing that I want us to see. See, was it God's will that David and Bathsheba hook up the way they hooked up? No. No. And it was bad, and there was a lot of consequences, the children and husbands and all this other stuff going on in the nation, and it was all this scandalous stuff, and it was bad. But did God redeem it? Even though David had a bad heart in this situation, did God redeem this relationship or this marriage between David and Bathsheba, even though it was adulterous and all this stuff was going on? Yeah, he did. Remember Solomon? Solomon was the son of David and Bathsheba. And next to Jesus Christ is the wisest man who's ever lived. Can God redeem your situation? Of course he can. And of course he has. And of course he will. No matter what. So as I conclude, and I want to talk to three groups of people in this situation. The first group I want to talk to are those of you who have suffered through marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Okay, I want to help you just talk to you a little bit. I think you and your wife, first of all, know that you're not condemned. Nobody's condemning you here. Jesus doesn't condemn you. We love you. God loves you. You're loved. Don't go with any kind of condemnation kind of stuff. Everything's cool. I just want you to understand and bring life, and I want it to be able to stop. So here's the thing that I think that you need to do. You need to go sit down with your current spouse and hold hands and say, okay, we didn't know. Now we know. And I want to recommit my life to you right now. And I want to tell you, I love you, and I intend to spend the rest of my days with you. And I want you to love me. And I want you to spend the rest of your lives with me. Now that we understand this, can we do this? Can we now go and teach our children and get our children to understand this so maybe we can stop? And then pray. Say, Lord, I don't know if we've done anything wrong or not, but I don't want anything blocking your blessings on me. And so if we have done something, will you forgive us? We understand all this mixed stuff. We understand that he's going to be there and she's going to be there. We understand all that's going to mess up in our lives, but we'll handle all that. But we want you right with us. We want to be right with you. And if there's something, anything, then will you forgive us? And will you bless our marriage? The second group of people that I want to talk to are those that are in the middle. You've divorced and you want to remarry. Can you remarry? Should you remarry? Well, I can't find anything in there anywhere that says you can or you shouldn't. What I really see is that God wants us happy, and it's not good for man to be alone, neither a woman. And so I don't see anything in there that says you couldn't or you shouldn't. You know, what I see is that you do need to do some things. You need to understand what we're talking about here today. And you need to have you a checklist. and if there's somebody that you want to marry, you need to do it right. Because you're going to be joined with this woman, like it or not, for the rest of your life. Or you're going to be joined with this man, like it or not, for the rest of your life. And not only were you going to, you're going to bring in what you're already scrambled with to this thing. And she's going to bring in, if she's been remarried, into anything that she's been scrambled with into this thing. And all of these children. And you got to sit down and you got to talk through this thing. And you got to realize that listen, this is it. We're stopping it right here. And we're going to instruct our children the right way. And we want it to stop right now. Let's stop it. I love you. And I want to marry you. But if we can't agree on this, and if we can't get together and loving our God and serving our God, then we better, it's best for us not to marry. Let's just be eunuchs. Or something like that. Okay. And then the third people that I want to talk to are those that are not yet married. Those that are not yet married. You've got information, if you've never been married, if you're a young person, you've got information that few people will ever have their whole lives. You've got information now, and it's a picture of what happens to you. And it can't be unscrambled. It can't be undone. Okay, how many eggs you put in here? How many marriages you have? It can't be undone. And they'll be with you, and you'll be with them for the rest of your days. Just, it's not that it's not permittable, it's just not possible. And you need to understand that. And you need to have you a big, long checklist. And you need to go through this thing. Can we serve God? Can we do this? Can we do? Do you agree with me here? Do we feel the same on this? Just because they're pretty and attractive and you can't wait, you know, and all this stuff's going on inside of you and all these, you know, hormones and, you know, and all this testosterone and all this stuff's happening. You know, listen, if you don't get this right, it doesn't stop. And the goal here is Jesus says, okay, I don't condemn you. Nobody else can condemn you, but let's stop it. You need to do that. You need to say, I love you and I want to marry you. But if we can't get this part right, because we're going to be together for the rest of our lives, one way or the other, let's make it good. Let's make it pleasing to God the way it was in the beginning. Right? Now, I want you to get past where your personal relationship, your personal situation is, if you're divorced or remarried or whatever is going on in your personal life, and get past maybe your family's life, your children, your son and your daughter and their marriages and all the stuff that's happening there. Just get past that. And I want you to think past that to the next generations. Our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren that are coming along. Listen, if we get this right, can you imagine their lives how their lives
together,
will be.
Together, we can change the world.
Like,
yes, together, we can change the world.
Because it won't even be an issue. How will that be? So that's the goal. That's what Jesus is really wanting to have. The way it should be. Closing this last time. Praise team, you guys come on up as I'm making this last statement. Listen, I think that the best thing, the safest place for any woman to be is connected with, joined to, made one with a man who loves her, who will protect her, who will guard her, who will take care of her. I think that the best place that a woman, that a man can be, is joined with a woman who loves him, who honors him, who will be at his side as a helpmate, connected with, joined to, made one with that woman, will make that man safe, make that man happy. And that's the safest place for that man to ever be. And I think that the safest place for any child is in a family, a mom and dad, connected to, joined together, made one. And they never have to worry about mom sending dad out or dad sending mom away. But they're there together, and they're a family unit. And they understand why. Because they will always be connected. There is no safer place than that. That's the kingdom. That's the shock. And if we can bring back life in that area, what a difference we can make in our society. What a difference we can make in our homes and our family and our children. What a difference we can make in our society. That's the kingdom. Let me pray for you.